All right, cool. Would you guys pray with me? Then we're going to jump into our topic and talk a little bit about what was Jesus' family like? And I'm not talking about Mary and Joseph and his brothers and sisters. I'm talking about what is the kingdom of God like, his home up in heaven. All right, so let's pray. God, we just want to ask for your help and strength for the week and for the night. God, would you bless our evening together? Would you speak to our hearts about what you really meant when you were teaching in parables, and what did it really mean that we could get to know you on a personal level? So God, we ask you to bless our group tonight and your name. Amen. Hey guys, when I was growing up, I had an older sister, 3 years older than me. Her name was Julie, and my mom and dad, Dan and Linda. And we kind of had a traditional family. There's four of us, and occasionally we would do some funny things. And I don't know if you have family traditions or some funny, weird things that your family did. One of the things that my family did that I thought was kind of cool is once a week they would do family night. And I know it might seem kind of old school or whatever, but we would actually play games as a family, whether it was a board game that night or Uno, some cards. One of my favorites was like doing like a paper airplane contest. And mind you, like I'm in like elementary school. So like family night was like kind of fun. Like, I don't know what that looks like for you. Maybe you got a night of the week where your family just says, hey, you know what? Everybody's so busy, but this one night of the week, let's at least try and have dinner together. Or maybe you eat like normal and then like on Fridays, like your family goes out or you get like pizza or something for dinner. In my house, we do Taco Tuesday. Just like the Lego movie. When we saw that, it was hilarious because we had already been doing it. So we do Mexican every Tuesday night. So before I come to youth group, usually have some tacos, burritos, whatever, fajitas. So how about you guys? Anybody have a family tradition or some kind of thing you might do on and off? Favorite meal, food, snack, whatever? No? Yes? No? No manners Monday. So on Monday, you can just be rude? That's awesome. Because that happens in my house all the time. But if we could limit it to one day of the week, that would be great. No manners Monday. That's kind of fun. How about like around Thanksgiving time? Sometimes traditions pop up around like holidays. So anybody have like a favorite thing? What does your family do like around Thanksgiving time? You go to your aunt's house. Okay, cool. Yes, everyone eats, right? But like, do you have something specific? Your family, like we always cook, obviously maybe turkey, but are there other things? Oh, come on. You guys have a favorite thing that maybe not normal? What do you got, Nick? Extra mashed potatoes. Sure. We love some mashed potatoes at my house. It's good. All right, how about the rest of you? Any weird, funky traditions? Shane's got one. What do you got? Yes. So over the holidays, you and your brother get together and play old school Nintendo. Yeah, that's totally fun. My buddies and I used to have a standing game of football called the Mud Bowl. The day after Thanksgiving, it didn't matter if the weather was good or bad or whatever, you put on some sweats and you went out to like we went to the elementary school's field and we would just play full on tackle in the dirt, whatever, football, kind of fun. Anybody else got stuff they do? Oh, okay, so stuff you're not normally allowed to have, you can bring on that one day and everybody kind of does video games or some fun stuff like that. Fair enough. Anybody have a grandma who makes like a killer dessert? Yes? Yeah? Good. You guys, tonight, I bring all this family stuff up to say, you know what, sometimes we might have some funny family traditions and things like that. But I guess the deeper part is, are there some values that your family has that maybe they hold on to or keep? And if so, what would it look like to be a part of Jesus' family? And does he have traditions or family things or values of the kingdom of God is what we're going to end up talking about tonight. So our tonight's topic is Jesus and his parables. And I thought it'd be good if we started off with, what is a parable? So a lot of you know what that is already, but give me some shout outs without looking up there. What is a parable? Anyone? Yeah, a story? Short story? Is it true? Is it made up? What is it? Okay, yeah, oftentimes it's made up and it has some type of point to it. All right, so let's lead a few of these definitions up here from our good friends at Wikipedia, right? A simple story used to illustrate a moral or spiritual lesson, right? A parable is a type of analogy, and a parable is a short story or prose or verse which illustrates one or more instructive lessons or principles. Okay, so we got the idea, right? So Jesus was pretty good at telling stories. Off the top of your head, can you think of any parables that he might tell or that he told in the Bible? Okay, parable of the wise and foolish builder. Nice. One more? Parable of the Good Samaritan. There you go. Nice. So that's the idea of what we're going to be talking about tonight. Here are the two main types of parables, or parables explain two main types of things. You can say it this way. Parables are designed to help us understand, A, what the kingdom of God is like. Okay, what is heaven like? What is the realm that Jesus lives in? His hometown, his homeland. What is heaven like? What is the kingdom of God like? And then the next one is, what is God like? So they're often used to describe those two things in general. Sometimes they describe both, but in main, I guess the main point of a lot of them is these two things. What is the kingdom of God like, and what is God himself like, all right? Now, oftentimes parables Jesus used, to help people understand things better. So like if he uses a farm analogy and he's talking to a group of farmers, right, they might connect with, remember like the parable of the soils. He's talking about the different kinds of dirt, right, and things that grow. So sometimes he might be talking to business-minded people, so he might use an analogy or a story about money or about taxes or about the moneylender is one of the ones we're going to take a look at. In a strange way, though, sometimes Jesus used parables actually to hide what he was trying to communicate. And that might seem kind of strange, but we're going to hear it from the disciples here. So I need someone who's got a loud, strong voice and doesn't mind reading a pretty good chunk of Matthew 13. Who would like to read that first slide for us? Really, really loud. I think you can do it.
His disciples came and asked him, "Why do you always tell stories when you talk to the people?" Then he explained to them, "You have been permitted to understand the secrets of the kingdom of heaven, but others have not. To those who are open to my teaching, more understanding will be given, and they will have an abundance of knowledge. But to those who are not listening, even what they have will be taken away from them. That is why I tell these stories, because people see what I do, but they don't really see. They hear what I say, but they don't really hear, and they don't understand."
All right, you guys get that? It's a little bit confusing, but Jesus is like, you know what? People didn't understand and get what he was trying to say. And for whatever reason, their hearts were hardened, and they wouldn't embrace his teaching. I need someone to read the follow-up to that in Matthew 13. This is 14 to 16. Who wants to read this page?
"This fulfills the prophecy of Isaiah, which says, you will hear my words, but you will not understand. You will see what I do, but you will not perceive its meaning. For the hearts of these people are hardened, and their ears cannot hear, and they have closed their eyes, so their eyes cannot see, and their ears cannot hear, and their hearts cannot understand. And they cannot turn to me and let me heal them. But blessed are my eyes because they see, and my ears because they hear."
All right, if you're like me, those two sections are a little bit confusing. Hearing, listening, words, eyes, ears. I'm like, wow, that's so many body parts, I can't even pay attention. Here's the idea, though. A lot of times, storytelling is a really good teaching method, right? And I think that's part of what Jesus was doing. And another part of it, he was actually speaking in parables, and later would explain them to the disciples who actually cared about what he was talking about, right? And so we're going to take a look at this first part, which is Jesus and his family values, or things that the kingdom of God values. So how does God share his family value system with us? Do we just call him up on the phone and ask him? No, probably not. But here are three basic ways where we find out what are the things that God cares about. You would find them in the law and the prophets and the Old Testament, oftentimes like the Ten Commandments. What are the things that God cares about? Well, he values life. He values marriage. He values telling the truth, right? He values keeping him as a top priority in your life. Then we've got the life of Jesus, the way Jesus lived and what he taught. And that's kind of where we're going to focus tonight, on his teachings and the parables and the Bible. Not just the parables, but all of it are ways that we find out what are some of God's values. So here's what we're going to do tonight. I'm going to work through one parable with you, and then you're going to get into a group of like three, and you're going to pick one more to do on your own as a group. Okay? So I'm going to teach on this first one. We're going to talk about the farmer, the parable of the farmer. It says the kingdom of heaven is like a, and Jesus gives a whole list of examples. The kingdom of heaven is like a farmer, is like a mustard seed, is like yeast, is like a treasure, is like a pearl merchant, and is like a fishing net. So you're going to have a chance to pick any one of those that you want to look up to and read with some of your friends, and then kind of write down in your handout what some of the meaning you think might be in regard to the values of the kingdom of heaven. So this first one, if you've got a Bible or a device that you want to pull it up on, we're going to take a look at the Matthew 13, 24 to 30. All right, this is the parable of the farmer. All right, it says this. It says, here's another story Jesus told. The kingdom of heaven is like a farmer who planted good seed in his field. But that night, as everyone slept, his enemy came and planted weeds among the wheat. When the crop began to grow and produce grain, the weeds also grew. The farmer's servants came and told him, "Sir, the field where you planted that good seed is full of weeds." "An enemy has done it," the farmer exclaimed. "Shall we pull out the weeds?" they asked. He replied, "No, you will hurt the wheat if you do. Let both grow together until the harvest. Then I will tell the harvesters to sort out the weeds and burn them and to put the wheat in the barn." That's his story. That's his parable. Okay, if he's talking to people who farm, they're gonna understand the principles of growing things and weeds, right? You guys ever plant a garden? Or maybe you have a garden at your house. Ever get weeds at your house? Ever be in charge of, "Hey, I want you to go weed." That's not that fun, right? Oh, come on. Has anybody ever had to weed anything? Yeah, okay. So what is Jesus' point? That's his story, and it's a little bit concealed, and the disciples are kind of scratching their heads and like, okay, yeah, we get that, but what did it mean? What was the meaning behind it? And at the time, they don't get an answer, but later, if you look down in verse 36, the disciples get a chance to find out, okay? It says, then, leaving the crowds outside, Jesus went into the house. His disciples said, "Hey, please explain the story of the weeds in the field." All right, Jesus says, he said, "I, the Son of Man, am the farmer who plants the good seed." Okay, who's the farmer in the story? Who's the farmer? Jesus. Are you guys even listening? Come on, just shout it out. Jesus. Who's the farmer? Okay. The field is the world. What's the field? And the good seed represents the people of the kingdom. Okay, what's the good seed? If you have Jesus in your life, if you put your trust and faith in him, Christians, you are the good seed, okay? So we got farmer is who? Field is what? The world. And the good seed is? Okay, good. All right. Then he goes on and says, the weeds are the people who belong to the evil one. Okay, people not following God. The enemy who planted the weeds among the wheat is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world. Can you guys get this? Now put it all together. Who's the farmer? What's the field? The world. And what is the good seed? What is the bad seed? Or the weeds? The weeds are the people not following God, right? And who put the weeds there? The devil, right? And what is the harvest? The end of the world. He says, and the harvest is the end of the world, and the harvesters are the angels. Who are the harvesters? The angels. He says, just as the weeds are separated out and burned, so it will be at the end of the world. I, the Son of Man, will send my angels, and they will remove from my kingdom everything that causes sin and all who do evil. And they will throw them into the furnace and burn them. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the godly will shine like the sun in the Father's kingdom. Anyone who is willing to hear should listen and understand. Okay, where did that story end up? Started off with this farm analogy, and now we're talking about the end of the world, and we're talking about judgment, right? Where do the weeds go? They get burned up, and the connection is hell, okay? Separation from God, and weeping and gnashing of teeth. Crying and the grinding of teeth is like torture, okay? These people are thrown into eternity in hell, okay? Separated from God. And where do the good seed go? In the barn, right? They get to be with God, okay? And they get to shine bright in the kingdom, right? This is all going to happen. He's explaining what's going to happen in the future about the judgment and the end of the world. You guys, the people did not get it when he's talking to them on the hillside. The disciples pull him aside later. I'm like, yo, dude, what was that about? And in this opportunity, the Bible doesn't always do this, but Jesus actually explains what this parable means, okay? What do we learn about the kingdom of God in this story? What do we learn about the kingdom of God? The kingdom of God is for the good. It is good. Okay. What else? But like, pull out some value. What are some values of the kingdom of God? Or what does the story tell us about God even? What do we learn about God? Well, if Jesus is God and Jesus in this story is the farmer, at some point, right, God has been cultivating people in the earth, right? And at some point, there's going to be a decision that has to be made, and some people are going to go and be with the farmer, and some people are not, okay? So there's a choice that needs made, right? All right, what else do we learn about the kingdom? There you go. Does he pull the weeds out right away? No, he gives them a chance, right? He lets them grow up together. Do you grow up in this world with evil people? You do. And some of you might wonder, why doesn't God remove all the evil people? Well, he's giving them a chance. Right? Maybe they could change. But in the end, we all have a decision to make, and God's going to harvest the people and separate them. Okay? Here's something you learn about the kingdom. We're all not going to the same place. That's something to grab, right? And you've got this kind farmer who didn't rip the weeds out of the ground right away. He let them grow for a while. Okay? See? All right, so now I'm going to turn it to you. You get to pick one of the next five, okay? Any ones that you want there, the mustard seed, yeast, treasure, pearl merchant, or the fishing net. Grab a friend or two, and you're going to grab a Bible on the back and look it up, and then you're going to answer those two questions in your handout about what do you learn about the kingdom of God and his values, and what do you learn about God is the idea, all right? So go ahead, stand up, grab a Bible, grab some friends, pull your chairs together, and you're going to pick one to read. All right, who did the mustard seed verse? Anybody do the mustard seed one? Okay, handful of you. Who did the yeast in the bread? Anyone? No? Who did the treasure? Anybody do the treasure? Nice. How about the pearl merchant? Yep. Okay. And the fishing net. Okay, good. All right, so I want to hear from you, and I want you to come up, be a representative from your group, send them up to the board. I want you to write down a few values or principles or things that you learned about the kingdom of heaven. Okay? All right, come grab a seat. We're going to wrap this up here. Okay, you guys ready? All right, I know we kind of had a long break there, but we're going to try to touch base with the groups that do this. So, Alyssa, you guys did, the mustard seed? And up here we've got, even if you are young or new in the faith, you can make an impact on the kingdom because God can grow something great out of something small. There you go. So you might feel insignificant or tiny, but God can do something great and big in you, right? Sure. That's something cool we learned about the kingdom. Let's see. Who had this one? The Gentiles can enter the kingdom of God with the same standards as Jesus. All right, so the Jews and Gentiles can both go. That the kingdom of God is for everybody is kind of the idea, right? That's good news, right? That's good news. Who wrote this one? He gives everyone a chance, even the bad people. I just want to know what story it goes with. Nobody wants to admit it. It's true. Okay, it's true. The kingdom of God is worth everything in life. Who wrote that? Oh, that was green. This one says, heaven is better than anything of this world. Were you guys doing the pearl merchant one? Is that what you guys are doing? Okay. Yep, nice. So the kingdom of heaven is worth a lot. It's worth sacrificing for, worth trying to be a part of it. The kingdom of God is like a field with a pearl. Well, we know that, but what does that mean? What do we learn about God? Say more. So the field has a pearl in it. The pearl is valuable. Work with me. Is it worth attaining that field that has the pearl? So is it worth pursuing the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven? Yes, it's valuable. It's worth trying to be a part of it. The kingdom of heaven is filled with good people. Yee hee. Yippee. What does that mean? What story did that go with? The fishing net. Okay, so the good fish get to go to heaven, and the bad fish get sent to fried fish dinner. Okay. Okay. Right. It's a fish fry. But it's filled with the people who are following God. All right, we'll go with that. And we learned something about God. What did we learn about God over here? He doesn't just look at new things. He looks at new and old. What does that mean? What story does it go with? The fishing net. So say more about that. He looks at all the people of the world. He looks at all the people, young and old, past, present, future. What does he? I don't quite understand. Okay, so God knows you in and out. He knows all of you, old and young, old and new, whatever. He sees the whole big picture. Got it. Okay. God gives everyone a chance. That's good. That's good. All right, so we're going to do one more, okay? I'm going to do the next one with you, and then you're going to break back into groups and do one more, okay? Because you're having so much fun, I can't tell, right? Or we could act them out on stage next. Yeah, okay. All right, so here's part three, all right? We did what is Jesus' family values like, and then we did what is the kingdom of heaven like, and now we're going to do what is God like, and there are some parables that Jesus talks about that go with that. You've got the parable of the great physician, the parable of the money lender, and the parable of the lost sheep, lost coin, and lost son. All right, we're going to take a look at the parable of the money lender in Luke 7. All right, here we go. This is in Luke 7, starting in verse 40. Jesus answered him, "Simon, I have something to tell you." "Tell me, teacher," he said. "Two men owed money to a certain money lender. One owed him 500 denarii and the other 50. Neither of them had the money to pay him back, so he canceled the debts of both. Now, which of them will love him more?" What do you think? The one who owed him more money, right? And you know what? Simon Peter's pretty smart. He answered like you. Simon replied, "I suppose the one who had the bigger debt canceled." "You have judged correctly," Jesus said. Then he turned toward the woman and said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? I came into her into your house, and you did not give me any water for my feet. But she wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair." You guys get that? It was the custom in that day. Maybe the custom in your home. Do you ever take shoes off at the front door or take your shoes off when you go in somebody's house maybe? Well, in this time, the roads were dirt back then, okay? And people walked in sandals. So it was customary to wash the feet of guests who came into your home because they would be really dirty, right? It was kind of like a, "I'll take your coat. Here's a drink." In that day, it was, "Here, let me wash your feet and get, you know, whatever." But this lady is washing Jesus' feet with what? Her tears and her hair. That's some serious sacrifice, right? And love, too. All right, it says, "Do you see this woman? I came into your house. You did not give me any water for my feet, but she wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You did not give me a kiss, but this woman, from the time I entered, has not stopped kissing my feet." Wow. Okay? So like a greeting, right? Not a romantic kiss, just a greeting, okay? But this woman is kissing his feet. Wow. "She's not stopped kissing my feet since I entered. You did not put oil on my head, but she has poured perfume on my feet." Perfume was expensive back then. And for this lady to do all these acts of really worship, right? Washing his feet with her hair, pouring perfume that is expensive on his feet, and kissing his feet. Wow, that's pretty wild. It says, "Therefore, I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven, for she loved much." She's showing Jesus a lot of love right here, right? "But he who has been forgiven little loves little." And then Jesus said to her, "Your sins are forgiven." And the other guests began to say among themselves, "Who is this who even forgives sins?" Jesus said to the woman, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." All right, so what's this little parable about? What's this little story about? Peter, Simon, is being kind of compared to this woman, and how does Peter look compared to her? Bad. He hasn't even done the customary house guest things. Didn't take his coat and offer him a cold drink and whatever, or, you know, take clean his feet and offer him perfume and whatever, right? And Jesus says, feel more love and gratitude, the one who sinned a little bit or the one who sinned a lot? If you sin a lot and you're forgiven, you have more gratitude, right? Remember, this is the money lender. It's just about money, right? If you owed $100 to a friend or to your parents or whatever for something, and your brother or sister only owed $1, and your parents cancel both your debts, which of you is going to be more grateful? The one who, you know, was forgiven of $1 or the one who was forgiven of $100, right? Definitely. But what's that say about our hearts, and what's that say about Jesus and God and the kingdom? All right, let's write some stuff up on the board. What does it say about God? He's forgiving. Yes. What do we learn from the woman? And she worships in a way that I don't know that I ever have. I mean, that's a cool kind of, wow. God's worthy of this kind of worship, or she sacrifices. What do you got? Yeah, the woman is selfless. Selfless. Okay. Or maybe that he's worthy of worship. Okay, so now it's your turn. All right, you're going to pick one of those other parables we didn't do yet. Okay, the physician, the sheep, the coin, or the son. Get with your friends again, look one of them up, and then answer the question, what do you learn about the values or principles, or what do you learn about God? What is God like? All right, for the sake of time, I'm going to cut you off right here, all right? So this time, instead of you guys coming up and writing, I just want you to tell them to me, and I'll try to put them up on the board. So did anybody read about the great physician? Okay, what was that about? What did you learn about God? All right, I said no favorites, and all are welcome. Cool. And anything else you learned about God in that one? Why do they call him the great physician? What is that about? Does he offer healing? Oh, Jesus came to help heal the sick. Yeah, okay, sure. Yeah. All right, so who did the lost sheep? Lost sheep? All right, talk to me. What did you learn about God in that one? That's great. God loves his children enough to actively pursue them. All right, so add to that, those of you who did sheep. Okay, even though he's got 99 sheep that are safe, he goes after this one that's lost. And that shows some cool value for that one itty-bitty sheep. If you're the lost sheep, are you feeling pretty good that the shepherd would come find you? Yeah. And that's like us, right? What else? Do you guys read that one too? Anybody else? All right, who read the coin? All right, what did you learn about God from the coin? Parable of the lost coin. What did you learn? He loves you individually, deeply. Yes. More love. Yeah. Do you guys get this? This is kind of a cool little sneak peek. If you could pull back the curtain of heaven and look inside and see what's going on, you know what's going on right there? The angels are throwing a party and are having some dancing going on over one sinner who repents. Isn't that cool? Did you ever think about that? That the angels have a dance party every time someone comes to Christ. That's a lot of partying, right? Dude, that's cool though. We get this sneak peek that God is a God of celebration, right? And he celebrates when sinners turn away from sin and back to God. What do you got? God cares for everybody. I'm going to circle that up here. I think we've got, look at this, everyone has a chance. Yeah. All right, cool. All right, who read about the lost son? That one was a little bit longer. What do you know about it? Yeah, the son goes off and squanders everything and lives bad, right? And the father in the story, the father still forgives and welcomes him back, right? Cool story about God's love, right? All right, so there's a lot up there. You guys, tonight might not be super new to you. Hey, listen. Tonight might not be super new to you, but I wanted to grab this kind of big picture. What is the kingdom of God like? What is God like? And how can we move more toward Jesus? All right? And this idea is that through the parables, we kind of do a couple things. Sometimes we need a simple story to get through our thick head, right? Because we can't, our human brain sometimes has a hard time grasping these deep spiritual truths of God. And sometimes we just need a simple story about farming or a simple story about money or a simple story about a lady sacrificing to love Jesus in a cool way. Sometimes those create what? Like mind pictures, right? Can you picture the woman washing his feet with her hair? Can you picture the farmer and the wheat and the weeds growing up because you've seen fields like that before? Like sometimes God wants to create this mental picture in your head so that you'll remember some of his truth, you know? So you're going to have a chance to talk about that a little bit in your life groups tonight. So life groups tonight, you've got the oatmeal cream pies and star snacks, Little Debbie, star bonus yumminess. So would you pray with me? Then we're going to jump to group, all right? God, my mind's kind of been all over the place tonight, and I apologize, but would you help these students just grab a hold of who you are, who you made them to be, and that you are a big God who loves them deeply. You're a God who someday there's going to be a judgment and people are going to be separated. And you're a God who goes after things that are lost. God, we are lost. We have been lost. And you have found many of us, God. And there may be people in the room that have not put their faith in you, aren't found yet. God, would you find them and would they choose you? Would you help us to share your love with others? Would you help us understand the truths that are in your parables, and would you help those sink deep into our hearts that we might develop a value system around the things of God? We pray in your name. Amen.